The Cosmo with Scott De Butler on RTE Pulse in association with Gaystar News. For all your LGBTI news, gaystarnews.com.
You're listening to The Cosmo with myself, Scott De Butler, here on RTE Pulse. Now, I'm absolutely delighted to have in studio with me one of the most talented openly gay musicians and gay rights activists that I've come across in quite some time. He's just landed in Dublin at the start of his UK and Irish tour over from New York. Justin Utley is in studio with me. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad at all. First of all, welcome to Dublin and welcome to Ireland.
You're
going to be travelling around for a while, but for those of you, for those listening in who might not have heard of you just yet, and you'll definitely be getting a few fans by the end of this chat anyway, but to start us off anyway, tell us a bit about yourself first of all. You've been on the music scene for a while by now.
Yeah, I started out, I guess if you want to reel back in the reverse for quite a bit. Once upon a time.
Let's get the cheesy music.
I was a wee lad, and my mother enrolled me in piano lessons against my will, and started writing my own music when I was in junior high school. Still at the piano.
Okay.
Taught myself the guitar. My mother sent me a guitar on my Mormon mission. We'll talk about that a little later, I guess.
Okay. Sounds like something interesting.
And that was against the rules because my Mormon mission president at the time only wanted us to play the organ or piano and play hymns only because the guitar lent itself to play rock music, you know.
Okay, so clearly this wasn't the type of music.
Yeah, a little bit of a rule breaker.
All right.
So I taught myself the guitar. My mom actually sent me some sheet music so I could teach myself, and she sent me Indigo Girls sheet music.
Huh. All right. Interesting choice.
Right. Like, you were surprised when I came out. You sent me Indigo Girls sheet music. All right. And then did a couple of albums that were religiously based. Mm. And then I was asked to perform in the opening closing ceremonies reception for the Winter Olympics in 2002.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And so then through that, I enrolled in an ex-gay therapy program. And started to write some more, I don't want to say more honest, but honest with myself.
Yeah.
And my experiences, it was reflecting in my music. So I started writing rock music, and then I released a couple of albums since then. I moved to New York City.
Yeah.
And now I'm
you've randomly ended up in Dublin for one thing.
I just fell off the plane and I was like, where the hell am I? No, this is awesome.
But obviously music must have been really therapeutic for you in that case, considering everything that you had been through.
Yeah.
That it seems like something that was just so central to maybe getting you through accepting yourself.
Yeah, it was. It's been a hell of a journey, and I listened to some of the music that I wrote during those points in my life, and I can absolutely, like, to the week almost know where I was at when I wrote that specific song or that specific line, where it came from, where I can see that now. But at the time I was just expressing, I guess, how I was feeling, and didn't really know that sometimes even the answers to the problems I was having were in my own songs, you know?
Yeah. There's something very, very nice about that, though, that it is almost like a self-therapy.
Yeah, it's like a journal entry, you know?
Yeah.
I go back and I'm like, oh, God, I knew exactly what was going on now.
Yeah. And will they still be songs that you'd perform today, or is it that's the end of one chapter that you leave behind?
No, once I went into the ex-gay therapy, that's kind of when I started living outside the bubble that I was in and realizing the world wasn't so black and white anymore. So it's kind of like ever since that point, that's kind of what I play at my gigs. There was a song on my latest album called Nothing This Real, the song called In July, and I actually wrote that in high school and played that with my band and recorded it.
Wow.
Back in the day, Blockbuster Music had a music store, and they picked it up and distributed that, and I rewrote, but changed a few of the lyrics and re-released the song on the new album, because it was kind of a reflection. The song itself is about looking back at the beginning of your journey and realizing where you are isn't so bad. And I was kind of just revisiting that a little bit in that song. So I kind of put it on the new album and changed it up a bit. But
that's what I'm telling you. In some ways, it's coming 360 as well with a certain musical journey. So I'd say it was probably pretty apt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. All right. So as we were saying anyway, you know, music and discovering yourself, you know, being a gay man, they were kind of part and parcel with one another. Tell us a bit about the ex-gay therapy, because as we were saying, before we went on air, thankfully that didn't work out.
Yeah.
But tell us a bit more about this.
Well, so I mean, I knew at a fairly young age that I was gay. I just didn't know what that really, what it all meant. I didn't identify with the word.
Yeah.
It freaked me out. I just thought there was something wrong with me, or maybe this was a common thing, these feelings, and maybe some people have them, some don't, but no one ever talks about it, so I'll just keep it a secret.
Yeah.
And then I realized I was gay on my Mormon mission. And I got home off my mission into my first year of college. I came out to my Mormon bishop about what had happened while I was on my mission, and he said, well, don't talk about it, don't come out to anybody, because that's really just you trying to be part of society and they'll force you to be gay. You need to go through this therapy. What you're experiencing is a learned behavior. And it's a mental disorder, so you know, we call it same gender attraction. Like, it, you have it.
It's
an illness.
Yeah.
You know. So there's therapy you can do. There's a group therapy that I went to every Wednesday down by Brigham Young University in Provo, Utah, and then there was a one-on-one therapy that I went to by a church-sponsored therapist. Mm. And it was good at first because I felt like I could finally talk openly about what I was feeling and going through.
Mm. But obviously the end result wasn't going to be as good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a couple of years into it, I realized, you know, I started asking around to some other people in the group therapy, like, you know, so when does this change? Because this is, I mean, I'm doing all these listed prescribed things to do to help me change this, and it's not working. And one guy was like, well, I've been coming here for like, you know, 8 years or 10 years. And I mean, slowly but surely, people started going on medications because it was, you know,
wow,
a mental disorder, or they were bipolar, or they were, you know, having all these other issues that were making them behave gay, and they really weren't gay.
Mm.
And they kind of reiterated in that therapy that you're only gay if you act on it, that gay is a verb, not a noun. So you have same gender attraction. You're gay if you act on it.
So what was the defining point when you just went, this is clearly not working? Or was this going back to when you were able to go back to the music?
Well, I was writing throughout that. And it was interesting because my earlier stuff was very religious centric, and especially with Mormonism. And then the second album I did while I was writing, while I was going through the therapy, listening to it, I can kind of tell that I was somewhat removing myself from this prescribed, you know, do what's right and everything will be happy and fuzzy and warm and, you know, happy thoughts and everything. And it was more of a searching and, you know, is this really my path type of scenario in some of the songs. But then a couple years into it, I just was like, I can't keep doing this. This is just clearly not working. The one-on-one therapist had me convinced that I had been molested as a child and just didn't remember, and it was so traumatic that I experienced repressed memory.
That's horrific.
And I had actually come out to my family that had happened, not that I was gay. So my family went on this, well, at least my father, went on this pseudo witch hunt to try to figure out, you know, who it could have been that did this to my son.
Wow.
When in reality, you know, I had to own up to it and go, you know what? That never happened. I was just grasping for straws to try to find an explanation for what I was going through.
But that clearly shows as well that probably it's something that isn't talked about a lot, I'd say, but it actually shows that it had a damaging effect on your family, not just you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that therapy has been outlawed in some states, and, you know, rightfully so. It's not psychologically sound at all.
Yeah.
And it can just lead to more problems.
I think the fact that so many American and even international, you know, psychological and other health bodies have said this is clearly not working, I think it shows that science is on the side of reason anyway.
Yes.
But look, it's definitely an incredible journey. But let's move on to something maybe a bit more positive.
Sure.
Obviously, you came out, you completely accepted yourself, your music flourished as well, and it started a whole different musical journey.
Yeah. So after the Olympics, and then I came out, I started writing my rock and roll stuff, and just kind of had an honest punch to it, and decided to take it on the road. And I actually got cast in Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat for about 7 months on a little regional run.
Pretty cool.
There. And decided to make a go of it. Went to do a show in L.A., in Nashville, and then New York. And I felt like no offense, LA or Nashville, but New York, we're kind of more in your face and we'll tell you if you suck or not.
Yes.
Whereas LA was like, oh, everyone's amazing and everyone's awesome and everyone knows Kevin Bacon. So whatever.
So you're able to get a bit more of an honest reaction.
Yeah. I was like, you know, I'll take this somewhere else. And then, you know, Nashville is great, but you had to be in the closet to make it. I mean, that's just the way it is there.
Really? Okay.
I just couldn't go back there.
Yeah.
And New York was like, yeah, you know, you can give it a shot and we'll tell if you suck.
Excellent. Okay.
I was like, hey, that sounds worth it to me.
Yeah, brilliant.
So I moved to New York, started playing some gigs, and I had a music agent actually that was telling me to go, not necessarily back in the closet, but not to talk about it at my gigs because, you know, you need to just focus on the music and you don't want to be pegged as a gay artist because they don't make it and this and that. And so I actually took that to heart for about a year. And I kind of found myself, you know, now I'm just like the 5 million other people with a guitar in the city.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to play in Central Park and catch someone's attention at Sony, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't working. And then I was playing a gig down at the Bitter End in the Village in New York City. And I was playing the song called Goodbye, Goodbye, which I wrote about a girl that I dated while I was in ex-gay therapy. It's part of an assignment that they give you.
They give you assignments.
Well, kind of, yeah. Oh, like, you know, you have to date a girl, and then, you know, they say, you know, you should disclose your status to her, that you have SSA or SGA, however you want to say, I have same gender attraction.
Oh, my gosh.
And,
okay.
Yeah, like it's cancer or something. And, yeah, or an STD, I don't know.
But yeah, that's one of the things I was thinking of, all right, yeah.
Right.
But I guess this is the whole point of their use of language. Anyway,
yes.
back to the gig.
I played this song and I said at the end, oh, that was a song I wrote for this girl and it's about her and she kind of played me and that's part of my ex-gay therapy assignment. And everyone laughed and I'm like, no, really? And they were like, what?
Wow.
And they're like, play something else. So I was, you know, played another song and then said why I wrote that. And the owner of the place came down and after the gig and he's just like, dude, you need to start talking about this stuff.
Yeah.
You just... You know, your music's great, but you just connected with every single person in that crowd. You need to talk about this stuff. This is what's setting you apart from the 5 million other people with the guitar.
Brilliant.
And I was like, okay, I'll give this a shot. And so then at the same time, I started playing more gigs and, you know, things started rolling. There was a writer director who had just finished a piece called Our Country, and it's a country western musical comedy, and he was trying to get it put up off Broadway. And he stalked me online.
Okay.
And I was like, I wasn't sure what his intentions were.
Okay.
And I'm like, you know, no offense, Tony, but like, you're 5'4". That's just,
so you're just like, no, not at first, but we'll listen to you.
I'm like, no, I'm not interested. He's like, no, I'm not trying to sleep with you. Just listen, I've got a script. I want you to read it. And read it, and it was awesome. It's actually... It's about a country western superstar who gets outed like the Dixie Chick, or not like the Dixie Chicks, but outed like George Michael.
Right.
And then the country industry turns their back on them, back on the character, like they did the Dixie Chicks.
Right, okay.
And it's about his fall from grace and then his fight to get back into the music scene. And the show that you see on the stage is actually his first gig since trying to make a comeback, and it's in the back room of a leather bar.
Wow.
And so as an audience member, you're actually watching a concert, and then the people that play the different instruments in the concert become the different characters in the show.
Very good.
And it ended up winning Best New Musical, and I got Best Actor. He got Best Director.
Fantastic.
And that kind of made, kind of, you know, we were talking about this earlier, it kind of gave me this moment of, I am in the right place. This is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah, yeah.
I started writing for a new album and started getting booked at a bunch of Pride gigs. I opened for Icona Pop in D.C. and Margaret Cho in L.A.
Brilliant.
Went up to Stockholm Pride a couple of years ago. So it's been bouncing around. And I've been also tying it with some activism because I feel like, you know, the music is part of my journey, and I'm very passionate about what I went through, and some of that no one should have to go through, especially that ex-gay therapy stuff.
And I guess the other side of it as well is that there's only so much you can talk about in music.
Yeah.
That other times you just need to actually just talk.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And so there have been a few opportunities that I've had to play more of an activist role in things. So not just with the music, but CNN had me on their Faces of Faith program on Sunday, about a year ago, about the stance of gays and being Mormon and things. And then Equality Utah reached out to me recently, just a couple months ago, to take the Senate floor at the Utah State Capitol and talk about discrimination in Utah and how they need to include gay, lesbian, and transgender in their Discrimination Act, because right now you can still be fired from your job in Utah for being gay. You can be evicted from your home for being gay. And I experienced some of that while I was in Utah, and that was actually one of the reasons I moved.
Yeah.
This couldn't be a part of it anymore. So it was amazing, and it's gotten a lot of traction. A lot of people have reached out to me and saying, thank you for doing this, you know, and it just kind of reaffirms, you know, it's not just about the music, it's about the message.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, at one point I wanted to win a Grammy, but now I just kind of want to change the world. And I think one's a little bit more important and lasting than the other. So.
Well, that's true, but you're on your way to the Grammys anyway, eventually. Yeah, so that's we'll brilliant. And obviously, you know, it's taken you on such a wide and varied path that obviously, you know, had you tried to repress any part, whether, you know, of your life, whether it's, you know, from the therapy to even not talking about sexuality in your music, it shows that the more honest you were with yourself, the wider the scope was for what was able to come about in the future. It's a fantastic story. Where next in that case?
Well, I'm working on a new project. Well, actually a couple of them.
Okay.
The first, I was going to do a cover album, and hear me out, don't roll your eyes yet. I had a whole bunch of songs that I wanted to do, and again, my friend Tony was like, yeah, he's in San Francisco now with his boyfriend.
Yeah.
He's writing a couple new shows that I'm not in, damn it.
He'll want you after this interview, it's fine.
Okay. So I send him this list. I'm like, hey, I'm thinking about doing a covers album. You know, I don't do a lot of covers at my shows.
Yeah.
So this will kind of feed that beast away in a way. And he's like, look, you're not Celine Dion. You can't just pull that. I'm going to do this diva thing and do a bunch of covers. You need to have a purpose for the album. It needs to tell a story. And secondly, there needs to be a damn good reason that I bought this album of covers and not wished that it was something original that you did.
Yeah,
so you need to make each song your own type of thing. Mm. So I thought about it, and I came up with a different list, much more concise, and basically from beginning to end, it tells my story from where I began as a Mormon and going through the ex-gay therapy and then leaving and, you know, moving and doing all these other things. So I was in the middle of that, and then my relationship status changed on Facebook.
Ah. And I love how that's become so iconic now.
Right.
It's actually not official unless it's on Facebook.
Right, right. Well, I just actually deleted the status because I didn't need the drama of, what happened? You know? So I just deleted it. And of course, that's also spawned a whole new set of songs.
Right.
And there's a little bit of there's always a silver lining in my music. You know? It's a little darker, I have to say.
And there's a little element of Screw You, probably.
You said I could say Ferk?
Feck? We were trying to teach him Irish slang before
right. God love him. Appropriate stuff for the kids.
So Feck You.
Feck You, yes.
Okay.
One of my friends, after I played him one of the new songs, I'm like, so what do you think? And he's like, it sounds like Adele just fecked Alanis Morissette. Like, I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you.
All right, okay. I think that works.
It's kind of rocking out, you know, like a little bit of, you know, Screw You and I'm going to do this. And So there's a couple of those. And so that's the new one I'm working on. It's called Scars.
Okay, I think with that mental image already in me with Adele and Alanis Morissette, I'm sold. Thank you very much.
Well, and the reason I called it Scars is because I think, you know, even in retrospect, I think most people, I think everybody, in whatever dark moments they have in life, you know, you can rise above it, but you still always have these scars. You can still always go back and remember, you know, what happened. So whether it's relationships or ex-gay therapy or, you know, just coming from a bad place, it's always this. It's a little bit of a reminder. And so that's kind of the theme of the album.
Brilliant. So. All right. Well, listen, I cannot wait to hear more on that. For anyone who wants to listen to your material, they can obviously go on to justinutterly.com, where that's where all the links are for iTunes and everything else.
Yep.
Tomorrow night, that is Thursday night here in Dublin, Justin is going to be performing in Neilan's Bar. That's on Cable Street in Dublin 1, if you're not too familiar with the area. As well as he's going to be hopefully playing in Belfast. Details to be confirmed.
Correct.
As well as that, then he'll be heading over to London Darling in King's Arms, Soho on the 29th, and as well as that, he'll be playing in Bristol on the 30th. And for more information on those dates, you can check out justinutterly.com. You're going to give us a bit of music before you head off?
Sure, yeah.
So what have you got for us?
I'll play Goodbye, Goodbye, that one about the girl that I wrote.
Brilliant, yeah, okay.
So a little background on that. So I went over to her house for Christmas Eve dinner.
Okay.
And that's kind of like third base in Mormonism, you know, because, you know, you can't do certain things without getting in a lot of trouble. So, you know, like first base is holding hands. Second base is a small kiss. Third base is meeting the parents. And then you're ready to get married, you know.
All right. Okay.
So I thought.
I think third base in Ireland is having a third can, but never mind.
Third can?
Third pint.
Oh, yeah. Sorry,
adapting to the Irish culture. Don't worry.
And then the imperial measurements of.
Oh yeah. Okay, we'll talk about that after the show. Yeah, don't worry.
Like, what's a pint? Okay.
Oh, it's very clear you haven't been in Ireland in the UK.
No, I haven't. I have a feeling like tomorrow night I'm going to be. I know exactly what they're talking about now. So I was over for Christmas Eve dinner. You know, thought it was a big deal. I gave her a nice Italian merino wool sweater, and she gave me a Celine Dion CD. So I was like, I wonder what this means.
Yeah.
Right?
Hints.
Then Christmas Day rolled around, and I called her to wish her Merry Christmas, and her little sister answers the phone. And I'm like, oh, is, you know, so-and-so there? And she's like, oh, no, she's actually out with this guy named Jason. I'm like, who? And she's like, oh, well, he came over after you left last night. And then she's going to go out with so-and-so later on. And I'm like,
okay,
what the feck? Like, I don't think so. So I was a little pissed off and sat down and wrote this song called Goodbye, Goodbye.
Okay, let's hear it. Justin Utterly, take it away.
All right.
It's not so hard to see how I could have been so blind and so naive to never read between the lines. Not to disappoint you, but there was something you had missed. When I found you, checked me off your list, and I ceased to exist. Well, I'm not gonna wait another day, and I won't make the time to hear you say goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. I won't stick around till it's too late, and I won't say a word to kiss your fate. Goodbye, 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 goodbye. You won't give up on me, and I'm never gonna let you down. And that's alright if there's no one else around. I guess I used to be one of your biggest fans. Now you lashed your style back by popular demand, and I don't think that you understand that I'm not gonna wait another day, and I won't make the time to hear you say goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. I won't stick around till it's too late, and I won't say a word to kiss your fate. Goodbye, 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 goodbye. Is this how you thought it would feel? Now who'll be the one kicking at your heels, baby, yeah? You think you've got the best things in life? Well, I think you're thinking wrong, baby, this time. Well, I'm not gonna wait another day. I won't make the time to hear you say I won't stick around till it's too late. So kiss your fate goodbye. Yeah, yeah, I'm not gonna wait another day, and I won't make the time to hear you say goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. I won't stick around till it's too late, and I won't say a word, cause bitch, I'm gay. Goodbye, goodbye, and goodbye. Yeah, yeah. Bye-bye, bye-bye, goodbye, goodbye. I'm not gonna wait another day, goodbye.
Brilliant. Absolutely, absolutely Brilliant. That was fantastic. Justin Utterly, thank you so much for coming into the studio tonight. It's been an absolute pleasure. Once again, if you want to catch more of Justin, he's playing in Neilan's Bar tomorrow night. That is Thursday night from 8 p.m. Neilan's in Dublin, and he's going to be hopefully in Belfast and then also King's Arms Soho in London on the 29th and then also in Bristol on the 30th. For more information, justinutterly.com. In the meantime, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
The Cosmo with Scott De Butler on RTE Pulse in association with Gaystar News. For all your LGBTI news, gaystarnews.com.